It's that time again. I'm your host, Hank McCoy, and with me, the People's Champ,
Binrock,
Vince.
The champ is here.
Welcome back to the show.
What an intro. Good to be back, finally.
200 episodes. I'm excited.
It's been another 100 down already.
That went fast, right?
I feel like
that one went quick.
It's going too quick, Tom, I think. Before you knew it was up to 150, it's like, it's a few more to go, and then bam, you're 200.
Yep, definitely. Guys, for you out there, hopefully you're all long-time listeners of the show. If not, this is our 200th episode, so we're a little bit jacked up and pumped. We want to treat this show a little different to our normal banter that goes on, a little bit of a reflection piece, if you will. Just a little bit of nostalgia, looking back on the show and all the 199 episodes before. I suppose, you know, one of the biggest questions asked to us, Vince, is, you know, how did it all start and, you know, how much has the show changed since our first day one?
I can't remember how it started. was that long ago? People might find this interesting. We actually didn't know each other 3 years ago.
Not at all.
And we only met face-to-face on the day of the 100th show, so...
That was a bit surreal, though. And I didn't even pick you up from the airport. I sent a mate just to make it even more confusing for you.
Yeah, which was good. And you didn't have to kiss me when you saw me, though. That's a bit weird. pinch on the ass might have been sufficient, but that's all right.
Do you remember how nervous you were on episode one?
I was that nervous. I had a headache afterwards. It was terrible. I got home and straight to the medicine cabinet, got the Panadols out and... said to the wife, that was harder than I thought it was going to be.
I suppose the biggest thing people will notice if they go back and do listen to episode one is just how reserved you were during that episode and how sort of unsure I was. Like, you know, the intros over the years have sort of morphed and changed. I mean, everyone will remember the big intro from the 100th show, obviously. You know, that's where I thought the intro was going to end, but it's evolved over the last 100 episodes as well into what it is today.
It's borderline ridiculous.
It is a little borderline ridiculous. But it's ours, so we'll claim it.
I think as the chemistry got better and chatted more often and that, started to get more comfortable.
And the topics got a lot deeper as well. I mean, you know, we started off sort of in the middle of the playoffs just to sort of test run and see how the show was going to go. But, I mean, as the show progressed, especially during, you know, the lockout, I thought our topics got a lot, you know, a lot more deeper and a lot more in-depth.
Yeah, that lockout came at a good time, didn't it?
Yeah. We were all sweating balls on that one.
we've met so many cool people over the journey. It's been really good.
Definitely.
In Australia and overseas. So,
like some of the guys I've never met, and I just feel like I've known a lot of you guys out there for years. Like, I feel like we're mates from high school, just chatting about hoops.
Well, let me tell you, it's lucky you haven't known Dan for years. No, but you're right. It's... And they're all quality guys, and you know they
love their hoops.
Yeah, good support over the 3 years, I think it is.
Yeah. Well, our first episode was actually on the 16th of the 4th, 2011, if you can believe that. And you know, as the show's progressed over years, as you know, obviously, like I said, they've gotten a lot more in depth. So the preparation for every show gets a little bit deeper, a little bit more intense, depending on what sort of show we're doing. But the one thing people mightn't realize is that for 90% of our shows, you have no idea what's going on. You are off the cuff.
Yeah, imagine how good I'd be if I could prepare.
Never happened.
It's all good. It keeps you on your toes. And, you know, I struggle with the English language at the best of times. So you're lucky you're getting that performance out of me.
Hey, they've heard, I'm prepared, so imagine me unprepared. Like, how many hankisms have we had over the years?
That's true.
I think the biggest thing I love doing about the show, I mean, other than the fact that it just feels like, you know, mates sitting around talking hoops, like, I'm sure most of us did as kids growing up. Just how interactive it's become as well. If you're on the Facebook page, All Caps Courtside, you know we're both on there through the week chatting about whatever topics going around. And, you know, of course, we ask you every week what questions and whatnot you want us to talk about in each show. And we do try to sort of cater to that. So, I mean, just how interactive the show's become has been a real blast as well.
Yeah, I do like having a chat on there, and I love stirring people up. So, yeah, no, it's been thoroughly enjoyable.
I do have to answer a few questions on the show, but a lot of people ask me, you know, why I wear the mask. So I thought I would just address it now.
I can tell you.
I got a face for podcasting.
Face of the bag full. That's awesome.
No, the reason why I wear the mask is because I wanted the Courtside podcast, when it was first sort of created, I wanted it to be more about the conversation of basketball. You know, that's why a lot of the links I put up on the Facebook page all end with thoughts, just because I want to hear your... I know what I think already, but I want to know what you guys think. So that's why I didn't want the show all to be about me, hence the Hank McCoy alias.
And interesting to note, I wasn't Hank's first choice.
Oh.
He had... You had the ninja on before me.
I did, but we made that switch.
I got traded in.
Got drafted to the big leagues, baby.
Drafted, yeah. I was a free agent. Still waiting for the check.
Look, we've had a lot of favourite episodes over the years. A lot of you guys have written in and told me some of your favourite shows. Of course, The Courtside Zone, which was one of our first Courtside Present shows. That's got a big thumbs up from Brenton Cunningham. The Fridge Full of Haterade, Kamal Hilton. Our top 10 position shows, Caelan Woods. And Joey from Timberwolves Explosion. He loved our season preview shows and, you know, also has, you know, come out and said that, you know, that's helped shape, you know, a lot of his shows. Yeah, we do get a lot of feedback from overseas now, which is great.
Yeah, I get a lot of fan mail.
I don't get any. It's all gone to you.
No, I don't get it. Wish I did, but I just wanted from Jigs, no guys, thanks. To fill me in, what's the biggest country? Is it Philippines, is it?
We do get a lot of visitors from the Philippines, Toronto.
Nice.
But the main country we get is from the homeland, Australia, and Melbourne. Melbourne, you love us. You really love us.
Well, being Italian, I do have 8,000 relatives, so there's 8,000 downloads.
Bang, straight off the bat.
And so, yeah.
When we really started the top 10 positions, I think that really got everyone talking and really got the word out there about the Courtside podcast and our rankings at each position, you know, from our point guards, shooting guards, small forward, power forward and centres. And those lists really, really, yeah, just got... tons wagging. People couldn't believe some of our thoughts. So I thought it's only fitting, our 200 show events, that we have our top 10 Courtside moments.
Sounds good.
And we will do something that we've never done before in our top 10. And we collaborated on this one.
We did, yeah. That was,
tough.
Hank just told me what we were doing. And here's the top 10 list. That's as far as it went.
Well, you had your list, but you left it behind.
No, see, you're lying.
The dog ate it.
No, well, it's a bit hard for a dog to eat an iPad, but I'll get home and the Darla's just taken off with me iPad with all my stuff on it.
God bless.
It's all good. It's all good. We're ready to go.
We'd already talked about it previously, though, so we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Well, let's start our countdown. The top 10 Courtside moments. Number 10 is actually all the small things, Vince. From our slap bets, our hankisms, all our little catchphrases and intros. It's all the little things that just sort of go, sometimes a little bit unnoticed, but just sort of make the show. You know, it kind of feels like it makes it our own a little bit.
There have been that many hankisms when this is all said and done. You could release just a whole book on it.
I think I should, right?
You should. Some of the words that have come out of your mouth.
The mispronunciations.
How you could not say debacle, you say debacle, is beyond me. Flip Saunders is Flip Sounders. It's so much for the Sydney education.
Oh, you're rough.
What else is that?
I mean, you know, a lot of people also, you know, they know our little catchphrase as well. I mean, you know, I think the one that really took off to start with was Minnesota's GM.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a fan favorite for long-time courtside listeners, so I'll give it the royal salute. Khan! David Khan, no longer in the league. I wonder if that guy will ever get back in the league again.
Oh, you're joking. Oh, yeah.
And I said I wonder. I didn't say he should be. There's got to be a team dumb enough to hire him again, right? Maybe there's a team that needs, like, 8 point guards in the next draft, and he'd be your man for the job, right?
He would be, actually. He's good at getting point guards.
Zing! You also have yourself a fair share of little slogans you like to throw out there.
Oh, yeah, I've got a plethora of them.
My favourite is always, when I've riled you up enough, and you haven't used it in a while, but it's, shut up, Hank!
Yeah, because you haven't been interrupting me as much lately.
I've learnt my lesson, maybe.
Yeah, and also, I call everyone peanuts. Oh, I mean, nothing that I can say on air. Some of the text messages I send you are pretty rough.
Blue bastard.
Oh, no, worse than that. It's all in. I came up with Jersey Worthy. That was actually, I've been saying that for years with Dan May. Because we used to watch a lot of NBA together, and if there's a player I liked, I'd just go, oh, he's jersey worthy, I'm going to get his jersey.
Yeah, I mean, that worked great next to, you know, our Brain Fart Award.
Yeah, yeah.
For our regular shows, so, I mean, yeah, so many good ones.
It's not like we sat there and go, oh, we need a...
Yeah, let's make a list. No, we didn't do that.
I just said it one day on the show. I said, oh, that's right, it was Darryl Arthur. I said, he's jersey worthy, and we ran with it. Well, that's all I've contributed over 200 shows.
Number nine. I've got to go back to, I mean, we've been known to not see eye to eye on occasion on the show, Vince.
On many, many, many occasions.
One that stands out for me, and I'm sure you'll remember this, is the Amari argument. We did our top 10 power forwards list, and maybe I'll let you tell the story.
Yeah, we're doing our top 10 power forwards list, like you said, and you had Amari at some ridiculous number, like 2 or 3, and it was ahead of Pau Gasol, and I've just cracked it.
We got a little heated in that one, didn't we?
Oh, how anyone could have Amari above Gasol at a period of time is just...
He was that good back then, goddammit.
No, he wasn't, really. And the thing that set you off, because you cracked it so bad that you lost your place in where we were in the list.
I did, too.
Very unprofessional, and...
It was early.
The thing that set you off, I said, if you put Amari in the 2011 Dallas Mavericks team, they don't win a title. And you just lost it. You can't say that. It's where?
I didn't say it like that.
look, go back and listen to that one. That when you get to about number 4 in the Power Forwards list, it is hilarious. He just loses it. And I think he might have just shed a tear.
I was very distressed and...
You were.
And lost my place. I think we actually just paused for 3 minutes or so I could gather myself before we continue.
You go, well, I don't know where we are at now.
definitely up there. Number eight on our top 10 courtside moments. God, I mean, we're climbing the ladder now on the list. So I've got to go with episode 19, Vince, and that was our throwback show. To date, that is still probably one of our most downloaded shows because it was a throwback show. There's nothing better than talking 90s hoops.
You know, we were lucky enough to grow up in that golden era of hoops in Australia on the back of Jordan and the Bulls and a little bit of Magic and a little bit of Bird. And there's no better era than the 90s. And I'm not surprised it was our most downloaded show.
I mean, it really was such a great time to grow up. And, you know, you had all these, I don't know, it just felt like back then that, you know, every star had its own superstar and they're almost like their own superhero.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I remember the Hornets, you know, they never got close to a championship, but Larry Johnson came in. Is that his name, Larry Johnson?
Yep.
Is that long ago?
LJ. Grandmama.
It sounds weird calling him Larry Johnson. Just call him LJ. I thought he was just awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole grandmama gimmick.
Oh, his gold tooth and everything.
His gold tooth, which he should never have removed. But, Yeah, once you remove that, it all fell apart.
I always felt like, you know, that's what the internet took away from us. You know, it took those superstars away from us. It took, because there's so much access and you can overanalyze guys. Like, I mean, back then, really, you know, we were relying on, you know, I've said on the show 100 times, you know, for me, my internet was the back of a basketball card.
Yeah.
You know, it had their stats, you know, it added to the mystique. And then the more you sort of read about them in articles, it was just the legend sort of grew. And I don't know, it just felt like when the social boom sort of hit, we kind of lost that a little bit. We lost our innocence.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's done that to a few sports, but yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. I used to get the Pro Basketball Today every Thursday just before work. And, you know, I just read it in my lunch breaks and I'd read it 4 or 5 times over.
But don't you reckon it just felt like every team had their own star? Some had two, you know, like Seattle had Peyton and Kemp. Charlotte had Zoe and LJ. I mean,
yeah, you had dynamic duos.
Yeah, it was so good.
There's none of this, let's team up when we're free agents like we have now. And
yeah, and the drama that follows. I mean, it's fun to an extent, but as we all experienced with the Melo leaving Denver, you know, it just, when it drags on like that, it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Well, you know, that Denver team, that would have fit right in the 90s because they had the one or two superstars, like you said. But just a great era. I loved reminiscing about the 90s and remembering all the players and stuff like that. It was really, really fun show to do.
Episode 19, that was a lot of fun to edit as well. Number seven was the introduction to the minisode, which was kind of a little bit by mistake.
Yeah, it was. You left the record button on and
we just, like, finished a regular show and then the record button was still on. I didn't stop. We were just chatting. We probably chatted for another hour after that.
Yeah, it was. It was a decent amount.
And we're just jumping from topic to topic and, you know, it sort of became a little bit of a staple for the Courtside Podcast.
So much so that Kamal Hilton stole our idea.
We love you, Kamal.
Yeah, we love you. But, you know, it was good to get another extra show out during the week. I got a lot of good feedback on it.
And, I mean, it was cool because, you know, with our regular show, we had our, you know, our sort of structured format, whereas the minisode, we could let loose a little bit and maybe cover topics that didn't make the first show or, you know, were maybe a little bit left to field. I mean, we've talked about everything from salsa, your hatred for Halloween.
Yes, I've got a hatred for a lot of things, McCoy.
You do hold a little bit of a grudge.
I don't, but never for longer than 50 years. I've always said that.
That is true.
So it's not too long.
But yeah, the minisode was, yeah, I still have a lot of fun doing minisodes. And it's actually good because, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit tough to line up times for recording. So if we literally are running a little bit late and don't have enough time to get a full show out, a minisode's always a great option for us.
Yeah, and they're a lot more relaxed and
a bit more casual.
Yeah, we usually do them in our boxes and just.
Wait, you wear boxes?
Oh, that's
awkward.
I didn't want to make jokes, so I thought I'd better. Oh, that's just got out of hand quickly.
Number six. I don't know, this has to go down as one of my favourite moments from the show. And of course, it was our prediction during the playoffs. Well, I should say rather my prediction of the Memphis Grizzlies defeating the San Antonio Spurs in, I think, 2011, in which I was just shy of stoned for my selection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were nearly shot. But in fairness, it's the only time you've been right on anything. And you managed to win some good amount of cheese for it.
I backed it up. I went and placed a bet, brought myself in about $300 off that bet. So I was very pleased. And it was just even more highlighted by the following show when I got to gloat about it to you guys. You guys had to eat your words. You had to eat your words.
Yeah, I just remember saying you were a fool. It's like, do you realise who coaches the Spurs and who the Spurs are? And you're like, no, man, I think we've got it. And
one of the quotes from that show was, you're running blindfolded across a minefield. No one wants to be in your position right now making that call.
Yeah. And that was pretty accurate, I think. You do that a lot.
I come through with the goods, though.
Well,
and then they got stomped the next series. But, hey, That was my NBA finals that round.
That was an impressive prediction. I have to give credit where credit's due. I think I even predicted a Spurs sweep from memory.
Yes.
I did.
But that Memphis team, I fell in love with that team. Now that's all been blown to smithereens.
Oh, it's not about the Memphis Grizzlies, it's about the Lakers.
I'm sorry. Number five.
I'd just like to say I don't regret a damn thing.
You know what number five is?
I do.
Number five is probably one of the biggest outcries from our courtside faithful fans, and it goes back to our top 10 position shows, and that was of course Vince's insane pick of Chris Paul at number 7.
Doesn't look so insane now though, does it?
He's better than number 7 now.
Oh, shizen.
What?
Maybe a couple. I was just about to
give you credit and say at least over the years you've sort of crept him up a little bit to a bit more respectability, but he's...
Because of the injuries to key point guards.
He's still that good, man.
He's not. He's overrated.
What?
He is. Have a look at the playoffs. Jeez, could he have any more bandages all over him? What, did he bandage every part of his body except his eyes so he could see the court?
Numbers don't lie, man. And that team's nothing without him. What are you talking about?
Please. They win 50-odd games without him.
You're mad.
You are ridiculous.
I can't wait for our next top 10 position show.
Yeah, well, when he wins a championship, come and talk to me.
Oh. You could say that about...
Well, where was he in the Western Conference Finals?
Come on, man. That team did pretty well.
I'm talking about numbers. His numbers were poor for a superstar.
You are mad.
Yeah, that's right. Man. And you know what? I don't care what you say, because you know who agrees with me?
Who?
Boogie Cousins.
Oh.
Boogie Cousins.
Mr. Brain Fart himself.
Best point guard in the league, he said, Rajon Rondo.
Oh, give me a break.
Because he knows, he listens to the Courtside Podcast, and he knows I've had his back since his rookie year.
Speaking of insane... Number four.
Jeez.
Number four, I feel like really broke the barrier for us. As far as chemistry and a duo, it was good just to get it out of the way because we kind of knew it was going to come eventually. But we had a pretty big argument over Shaq on the show. And I will admit, I actually did not realize... You had mentioned to me you were a Shaq fan, but not to what extent.
I love Shaq so much, I'd probably turn for him if I met him. That's just how big of a family I am of Shaq. I mean, I went out and bought all these soda pop.
I can't believe you bought that crap.
I didn't drink it.
Have you tried? I was going to say, have you tried it yet?
Nah, it's proudly on display. if I drank that, I'd have diabetes, man. Yeah. Have you seen the size of those things?
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, it's got his head on the side of it. Come on.
Yeah, it looks great. Look at it now. God love you.
But that was really our first argument on the show. And that was back when Shaq was playing for Boston. They had brought him in just after the Kendrick Perkins trade, I believe.
Yeah.
And I suppose he basically sat out most of the year, played a handful of minutes here and there during the regular season.
Whoa. He actually was playing quite well, averaging double figures, had some big games, 25-point games.
He sat a lot of games too. He sat a lot of games too. Let's be fair.
You are a fool.
Be fair. Be fair.
I am being fair. You're not. You're a fool.
Hook, line, sinker.
You're a peanut, I swear to God.
Did I give him a brain fart award or a missing in action?
Look, you gave him an MIA for the playoffs in that series.
I mean, he got on that court and ran for about 2 minutes before he was yanked again, and that was it. He was done. That was the career ender.
Yeah, thanks very much for the reminder.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you absolutely... I mean, to give him a missing in action, when he tried to play, he wanted to help his team with, I think it was a partially torn Achilles,
yeah.
And you just lay the boots in. That's just disgraceful.
What did you say after the show?
No, I was during the show. I said, if I'm ever in a coma somewhere, keep hanging away from the plug as he'll pull the plug or something like that. Just give up on me. He just won't. He just won't. Nah, he's gone. Nah, forget it. Just pull the plug.
Question for you, just on that whole topic and that, you know, now sort of retrospect, looking back, do you think it was more the trainers at fault? than what it is Shaq. I mean, as an athlete, I suppose you just want to go and help your team, like you said. But, I mean, he really should have been on the court, right? Not at that stage. I mean, you know.
No, he shouldn't have been. But I'll tell you now, this is my opinion. I got no doubt in my mind that the trainer said, you can't play. And I'm thinking, Shaq's just gone. I've at least got to try. I'm not going to go out like this. And I got no problem with that. If he wanted to help his team, try and help any way he could. And if it did, like, at least he can walk away and say, I tried.
You know, he must have known at some point during that year that this was the last hurrah. You know, the body's not responding.
If he didn't have that Achilles, he would have gone on one more year, I think. Because he was still averaging double figures. He was still rebounding okay.
Tell you, man, he should have stayed on that cactus juice out in Phoenix.
Yeah, he should have.
Saves careers, man. Just ask Grant Hill.
He turned back the clock there for a year, didn't he? Amazing. He wasn't the player you could throw the ball into anymore every play.
Yeah.
He was in spurts, but he could still rebound and he was blocking shots. But
yeah, but that whole show and specifically that moment, you know, I think really shaped this. Like, it was almost like, yeah, it's okay to argue and not agree. I think on especially the first episode, you know, we're probably agreeing with each other too much. But I think that one really set the tone for, you know, the future episodes that it was, yeah, okay, like, we're allowed to disagree. And I mean, we disagree on a lot, but we're always real cool afterwards.
Oh, yeah, it's always...
There's never been a moment where I've gone, I'm not talking to you for 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Like, people go, oh, geez, do you... you got a bit heated. And I'm like, they're like, you know, do you just crack the shit? I said, no, it's just, once the show's over, it's just like, that was good.
Leave it on the court, man.
That's it. Yeah, I think that was cool because I'm like, yeah, now I can abuse this guy.
Yeah.
I know I can abuse him.
Yep. I don't have to be so nice now.
Sometimes a bit of tough love is good. A bit of abuse here and there.
Keep it clean.
Verbal at Hank is what I'm saying.
Ah, oh, okay. Verbal at Hank. Number three! And I think this is, you know, especially the past couple of months, really launched. I mean, we've been doing theme shows for quite some time, but we never really gave them a name. They were just these shows that sort of snuck in every now and then, but after the Christmas special, A Courtside Christmas, we launched into the Courtside Present shows, and they got some excellent hits and reviews and downloads and a lot of feedback. We had, what shows have we done? We did the Courtside Zone.
Yeah, we did Dr. Hoopenstein.
Yep, we did Hunt for the Great White Dunker.
Yeah, which when I first heard you talk like David or Richard, what's his name? David Attenborough?
Yeah.
I cracked up. had that on at work and people are like, who the hell is this guy? And I said, oh, he's just a fool.
Thanks.
But I've got to say, the Christmas one, that was pretty cool because we had Gary Neal and Zaza.
Pachulia, yeah. They
going back and forth about it a couple of times because Gary Neal thought Zaza got traded.
Yeah, he's like, why are they talking about you for you? Did you get traded?
We had Mello looking out. We let Mello in, you know, on the old...
on the banner.
The banner.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I think if you had to pick one of those shows, what one would have... Like, one of our Courtside Present shows, what would be your favourite one?
I keep going back to the Christmas one. And with a close second, Dr. Hoopenstein.
Really? See, I really like the Courtside Zone, the whole, you know, the whole what-if theme show.
Yeah, that was a good
that
one.
That was a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, no, that's it's just Christmas one, man. I really enjoyed that one. That's
yeah.
Good. I think because we got some NBA player feedback on it, I think.
Yeah, it's always nice.
Yeah, it's always good.
I really like them because it's just, to me, it just feels like it's that little bit extra. And they're just such really good shows that if you're a new listener, you know, to our program and what we do, they're just a great starting block.
Yeah, well, I always, if I meet a new hoophead, I always direct them to... Obviously, the show, but also say, you know, like if you're going to check out any first, check out the Present show. If I don't say so myself, they're pretty damn good.
Number two might come as a little bit of a surprise that it's not our number one, but for our 100th show, we decided we were going to do a live show in Sydney.
You decided.
And when I say we, I meant me. Never having done an event like this, and to be fair, it really was an event.
Oh, dude.
You guys graced us with your presence, which was great because it would have been awkward doing it without you. But, I mean, we had the courtside teas that were available, the limited ones, which actually I still get asked about all the time.
Really?
I always get... If I wear my Wilt Chamberlain courtside 100th tee, I always get stopped and asked for it, without a doubt. And what do we have? We had the prize packs. We had stuff selling on the night. We did the live show. We somehow managed to pull that off.
Oh, my God. I was... Me in public speaking, oh my God.
You were pretty nervous. And as you mentioned, just at the start of this show, that was the first time we had actually physically met each other.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was a buzz, right? It was such a buzz.
It was. And I forget the guy who picked me up from the airport.
Chris.
He had some crazy music going in his car. And I'm like, I'm too old for this shit. And it didn't look like he knew where he was going. And I'm like, Jesus, taking me through city parts of town of Sydney and...
All the back streets.
But no, he's a good lad, and they got to your house and you were stressing massively.
Oh, yeah, I was in... it was like crunch time by the time you got there. I think we had about 5 hours, maybe 6 hours before the show actually started. We were waiting on, like... I think that was the funniest thing, looking back at it now. I was waiting on the postcards for the packs to arrive.
Yeah.
It's like, we could have done without them. I didn't need that stress, like... I was like, no, made a good mate drive out all the way to pick him up and bring him back in for the show.
This is how stressed Hank was. He asked if when we got off the plane if we could go pick these cards up. I'm like, I'm from Sydney. I have no idea where to go.
Yeah, you guys would have never found it. You would have never made your way to the show had you gone. So it was good you didn't listen to me. But, man, so many like just really cool people to thank for that 100th show. I don't know if I've actually even thanked them for their, all their efforts. First of all, just a big thanks to everyone who supported that whole show, from overseas, guys who bought tickets for the show who no way physically could have made it there. To all our fans in Oz, you guys would have met Super Dave Fordo.
Fordo's a legend. Old fans.
And that show would not have happened without him. Of course,
it was awesome.
My good friend Nick Livingston as well, who shot the whole night and did the promo videos and everything for it, saved my butt on many occasions. But yeah, it was such a good night, and so good to interact with the actual fans.
I actually, after the show, I needed to drink badly. We were having such a good time and talking to everyone drinking that we actually forgot we were in Sydney. And we walked out of the bar where it was, and because usually when we ever get here, it's like Flinders Street or something, or King Street, and we're like, okay, let's get a cab and go home. It's like, hang on a second, we're not in Melbourne. This isn't Flinders Street.
Where are we again?
And we nearly walked into King's Cross before we found a cab.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Actually, we asked Benson, we go, can you drop us off? And he's like, oh, I'm going the other way. I'm like, thanks, Benson. Thanks, man. Next time you're in Melbourne, look me up and I'll smash you.
And he wonders why he hasn't been on the show yet.
Yeah, he wonders why.
That's your answer, Stewie.
I might defriend him on Facebook stuff.
We love you, Stewie.
But yeah, I've got to say, a quick side note, this has got nothing, well, it's a little bit to a show. Our good friend Brent Cunningham, also known as Freddy, also known as Fritzel, we got to the airport, he got there before us, he landed before us, because I wanted to save $10, went with Tiger, just a walk thing. And we get there and he's already had one bottle of Coke. And at that stage, we're waiting for Dan May, so we're just going to get some lunch. Britain has another Coke. Then I'll go get some Macca's, and I think my missus got she didn't want a Coke, so Britain had another Coke. In the space of half an hour, Britain Cunningham had 4 litres of Coke.
Wow.
And that is why, during that whole evening, he was buzzing like an absolute man.
I was going to say, that explains why he was bouncing off the walls the whole show.
Well, he was out of control.
That's great. We've talked a lot about number two, but it wasn't our number one. So without further ado... Number one! Our number one, Vince.
Look, I'm really proud of this one. I'm really proud of it because we were the only podcast, and I've got no qualms about saying that, that covered our NBA to beat the lockout. We didn't just beat the lockout, we kicked the absolute living suitcase out of it. We were producing shows left, right and centre when the lockout was on. When, and no offence to any other podcast out there, you're all wonderful, you're all doing a marvellous job. But we were probably the only podcast out there, from Australia anyway, that kept putting out content week after week.
Yeah, we really did.
You deserve a lot of the credit because you are just an absolute creative genius. You came up with a lot of ideas, and I was just giving you nothing. My creative talent is very limited. But
it was funny, though, you know, because we started the show, like, right on the playoffs of 2011. So that whole Miami-Dallas series, you know, we started at round one, and we were like, yeah, let's do a show, see how it turns out, and go from there. We went on this amazing journey with Dallas. Like, that run was really sort of special to me. I don't know, I just...
It was.
And then all of a sudden, the season's over. We sort of did, like, a little thank you show, the birth of the minisode, and July 1st through to December 8th. I mean, we just had this massive lockout. NBA fans everywhere were just, you know, super frustrated. They just wanted to be over. We'd already just, you know, just gone through not so long ago our first lockout. You know, this is number two now. You know, whether you think the players are at fault or the owners are at fault, it was just not good for the league. And it was good just to put out shows and have people. And people responded to, you know, having content to listen to because, I don't know, you don't want to lose those fans. I mean, if you're a fan of hoops, then, I don't know, it's kind of that thing. It's a little bit of a culture. You tend to live it.
Yep. But, like I said, man, we were just rookies at podcasting pretty much. And like I said, to beat the lockout, I'm just proud of it. It's just, you know, people kept coming back to us going, oh, you're getting another show out this week and, you know, missed the NBA. And I'm like, yeah, well, it'll be out this week. And,
yeah, I mean, and by the end of it, we, you know, once the minisode sort of got launched, we were doing two shows a week, and we still, you know, pretty much keep that up now. And that was like 2011. It's 2014 now. We haven't stopped really.
No.
Not even when I got married.
No.
When I got married, I had four shows locked, ready to go. Four Courtside Presents shows. So.
And I remember just before your wedding, you're like, "Now, when I'm on my honeymoon, if I've got time." I'll do it. And I'm like, there are two things you should be doing on your honeymoon, and podcasting ain't one of them.
But I was like, yeah, but if I get a chance, what I'm saying is, yeah.
I actually turn around and say, even if you call me to podcast, I'm not answering. On the honeymoon. Well, it just goes to, I always tell people, and I don't want to pump you up too much, but and I just tell people that my podcast is one of the hardest working podcasters I come around.
Oh, thanks, man.
people don't realise how little I do and how much you do. But there's a reason, because he's good at what he does. And, we probably wouldn't be where we are if it wasn't for your efforts, mate. So.
Oh, shucks. Thanks, man. I actually appreciate that. That's a cool thing to say. So I'm glad to have you here for the journey and get to argue with the whole way. We get to drag each other kicking and screaming.
Oh, Paul wasn't here. Shit. So.
Every week, we hit the Courtside Facebook page, all caps Courtside, and ask you guys what questions, topics you want to hear about on this week's show. This time around, though, we asked you if you had any questions about the show, you know, if you're ever wondering something about the Courtside podcast. And we've been graced. So Brenton Cunningham, he wants to know, how did we come up with the idea of doing the Courtside Present episodes, and what type of setup do we have for recording?
Yeah, Hank, how did we come up with the Courtside Present show?
Well, like I said, you know, we've been doing theme shows for a while. I think we really sort of just wanted to, put them in their own sort of title, if anything. You know, if we had to go back and do another throwback show, it would definitely come under the Courtside Present banners. But just something to separate for new listeners and, you know, just a good reference point for us and the show. And what do we use to record? Well, I'm pretty busy with work, kids and whatnot, wife, life and basketball. So I'm easy access. So anything I can do that, you know, can be done, and is a lot of the time I do stuff on my phone. But literally, I mean, podcasting, if you've got the heart for it, then anyone can do it. I just simply use Skype and GarageBand. That's all I use for the show. Every now and then I might put it through a second editor, but that's pretty much it for every show. A lot of people get caught up, I suppose, in the numbers. I just use the numbers as a guide to see how each show rates. But, I mean, you've got to do this thing because you generally love the sport or what you're doing.
Yeah, and you've got to commit. You've got to be willing to commit time. And, you know, sometimes one of our kids will be sick or something, and, you know, that we need it. But most of the time we try and get it out regularly.
Yeah. I mean, that's not to say we've had, you know, we haven't cancelled our fair share of shows, that's for sure. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, but we always make the commitment to, you know, get it done, you know, within the next few days or whatever, so.
Yeah.
It always gets done, put it that way, even though Hank cracks it sometimes.
Lies, all lies. Believe nothing that man says. Our next question comes from Cameron Grinke. He wants to know, how long does it take to come up with the episode titles? And also, Vince, where's my Reggie Miller impersonation? I believe you promised him one a while ago.
I did, but I have to admit it, I've got a very severe cold and I wouldn't do it justice.
Always
the minute, my cold is all cured and gone, I will give him a Reggie.
Give him a Reggie?
Yeah.
That sounds wrong. I'm sorry.
Not a Roger and a Reggie.
How do I come up with the episode titles? Well, early on, they used to be song titles. I would like go through my iTunes library and find obscure songs in the hope that people would look through. But then after that, the thing is with the song titles, it's hard to go back and change after I've recorded it and put it through Podomatic. So I have to come up with the episode title before we actually start recording. So a lot of the time I'll go back through my notes and I don't know, just trying to find something cool with a little bit of a double meaning or something that can be taken the other way. So that's how they come about. No real big secret, but I like the quirky ones every now and then.
Yeah, I've got nothing to do with the titles. It's all Hank.
Our next question comes from New York Nick faithful Philip Brown.
Phyllis.
If you could make one ultimate trade with today's players, who would it be?
Ultimate trade?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I would...
I know my one.
Go on, hit me.
I've said it a few times on the show. I really like the idea of Rondo going to OKC for Westbrook.
I do. I
would really like to see him and Durant and just see that team and the nucleus change. I think if they're going to get any closer to an actual chip, I just don't see Westbrook and Durant panning out. I feel like Westbrook's his own star in his own right. You know, he needs that James Harden factor. And Rondo's a great pass-first point guard. I mean, we see Durant this year, MVP, you know, with Westbrook sitting out. I just sort of think it's just a match made in heaven.
Call me crazy.
You're crazy.
You're idiot. The way the Bulls are now, I would really like to see 1K Bryant at the Bulls.
Kobe Bryant to the Bulls?
I really would like to see that because they'd get a championship.
Oh, yeah? Are you mad?
Imagine that. Noah, Danny McBuckets or Butler, Rose, Bryant. It's championship real right there.
Wow. You reckon that'd ever happen?
Could happen, but I'd like to see it.
Could you see? Oh, man, I don't know. Could you see Kobe in a Bulls uniform?
Yeah, I have seen him in a Bulls uniform. You seen that picture of him going around the Bulls jersey?
Oh, the MJ one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it's him. Suits him.
Wow.
If it means he gets another ring, I'm all for it.
Wow. Really?
He's not really camp for the Lakers.
Cutting your Lakers ties off. Kobe going, huh?
I'm not a Bulls fan. I'm still a Lakers fan, but I'm just saying if he gets a ring, it's worth it.
We have a double question from Philip Brown. He actually wants to know how many hours go into doing an episode?
Oh, 5, 6.
Yeah, sometimes it feels like that. How many hours go into an actual recording? Generally, we record for about 3.5 hours, and that includes a full show and a mini-sode, and then it's just a matter of editing down. I mean, the full shows, I tend to aim for that 45-50 minute mark, and then a mini-sode, about half hour, sometimes a little bit over. But yeah, editing, I could not tell you editing. There's been nights where I've stayed up after recording till, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning. But yeah, I mean, it's okay. I enjoy it and enjoy giving you guys these laughs.
Yeah, I do tell him to go to bed after we finish recording.
You do. And
I've given up doing that because he just doesn't.
I'll go, yeah, I will. Shows up in the morning. Banner and everything. yeah.
I said it before, I have no idea how you had a kid because...
it's easy. Less sleep.
You're never in your bed. To actually do the deed to actually have a kid. So I don't know what you did to get one.
You know what? You know when people go, oh, I'm going to bed, and it really means I'm going to bed on my phone for an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's when I usually do the banners.
Okay.
I'll finish editing, go, yeah, I'm off to bed, and then I'll sit in bed doing the banners and then go to sleep after the banners. So. The insight.
It's crazy.
Stu Benson. Good old Stewie. He wants to know, how have we made it this far without a cameo from Benson? A travesty.
We covered that before, but there's a reason why you're not coming on the show.
Look, I'm all for Team Benson.
I want an apology first.
Apology for...
for not driving us to our room.
Being that you guys were tourists.
And we were lost. We were inebriated.
And I was already gone.
You left. You couldn't give a staff about us after
that. I packed up and I was out of there. I had one beer and I was... actually, I didn't even get a beer. My now wife was drinking for me.
Yeah, you were no help. And Benson was even worse. So you can get stuff, Benson. You're not coming on.
Wow. Episode 200, we're really burning bridges today. But look, that's all our Facebook questions. I just sort of think, you know, I just want to send a big thank you out to our fan base for all the support and friendship. And, you know, it really does feel like such a tight-knit group. It's great. I would rather have 500 Facebook followers like I have than, you know, 20,000 that I don't even get to interact with. So... really appreciate it. I hope you guys just keep enjoying the shows.
Yeah, it's just I've just had a ball, so let's hope we can get another 200 cranked out.
Yeah, and I want to do another live shows. I think that'll be maybe our next project.
Yeah, definitely.
I might have to bring it to Melbourne this time. We'll see.
Yeah, that might be a bit of work.
I'm not making many promises now.
Jesus. Well, we could do a show at Cunningham's wedding.
Oh. Oh, hey, that's a good course I present show.
We'll just hijack his reception.
So thanks again, guys. That's our 200th episode all wrapped up for you. We'll be back, of course, with more laugh out loud moments. You can catch the Courtside Podcast at the website www.crtste, where you'll find links to our show, the Courtside Podcast. By now, you probably already know we're available on Podomatic and iTunes, so subscribe, download, leave a review for us. We love all the feedback we can get. As mentioned on the show, we're on Facebook, All Caps Courtside. Come down, check us out, and listen to us rant and rave throughout the week. We are on Instagram, at CRTSDE, and Twitter, at CRTSDE, and Vince.
At VINROK44, which is my jersey number, not my age, so just wanted to clarify that.
Vince. It's been emotional. It's been 200 episodes of emotional.
That's what I had. Actually, not nothing. Here it comes. Here it comes.